And so welcome, New Covenant. Welcome. My name's Jay. I'm the lead pastor here, and we are thrilled that you've chosen to worship with us, especially on this Mother's Day weekend. Happy Mother's Day for those of you in this room who are mothers. And if you're a guest, we're glad you're here as well. And if you're a son or you're a daughter, and the only reason you're here is because mama wants you here, well done. Well done. And we are glad you're here as well. And so we're in a series that's entitled The Grand Perspective, meaning that we need to see the big picture of what God is doing in our relationships, that God is doing more. The gospel is more than just making dead people alive. The gospel is really about principles that actually can radically transform a life. So whether you're a parent or whether you're a student or whether you are just interacting with any person, this is a series that's really can be incredibly beneficial. And so today's message is no different, that this is a message for every single one of us in this room. So it can be and will be more geared towards mothers, but man, this is helpful for those, even for those who are not mamas. And so here's where the relevance is. I'm going to be more kind of just upfront, and here's kind of where we're going. Like, we want, typically as people, especially we want our relationships, especially our relationships with our children, to be really a series of events rather than a lifelong process. That's really what we're going to be talking about today. That in our head we think. Event, not process. In fact, we think for some reason, especially when it comes to parenting, we think that our words are way more powerful than what they actually are. And if it's not our words, we think that our actions can produce the power that we would want or expect. We think in series of events, and not a lifelong process. And so here's some examples of how this kind of has fleshed out, even in our own lives. My wife and I, we have noticed something recently. We've noticed this with our kids. It's the moment that we step foot inside a vehicle and they sit down, it's like our kids absolutely lose their minds. Something just is off. Like, all of a sudden, they begin to bicker with one another. They begin arguing with one another. They begin touching one another. So what we do as parents, we calmly ask them to stop. And so they stop doing that, and then they proceed to other things like making fart noises or any other noise that is just absolutely awful. Truth be told, I'm just being honest right now, that there are noises coming out of them that even Jesus would be annoyed. And so we calmly say, please stop. And so we break out our mad parenting skills when that doesn't work. We begin to try to distract. And then distraction doesn't work, and so we try other things, and that doesn't work. And guess what happens? Out comes forth anger. And we start to yell and scream. Well, she does, I don't. Just kidding. Happy Mother's Day. And so we would think, here's my point, is that we've had this discussion with our kids. We've said, we prefer that you would act differently, that you would say things differently, that the noises that come out of your mouth would be different. And we've had that conversation over and over and over, and guess what happens? Nothing. The same thing actually continues to happen. It's an event that we think that would change. So we think in series of events and not just this lifelong process. And now, lest you think that I'm just picking on kids, I'll pick on myself. I mean, Jen has like the doubly trouble. I mean, she does it with kids, and then she has to do it with me. I can't tell you how many times she has actually walked me into the closet and you say, you see these things right here? They're called hampers, baskets. And each basket actually has a purposeful something that goes in it, a color, a pants, and towels. I can't tell you how many times she's shown me that. And guess what I do? I just throw it in whatever one is empty. And not only that, is that I can't even tell you how many conversations she said, Jay, stop doing the laundry. Because each one of those baskets are actually supposed to be, I guess, they're supposed to be, I wasn't listening, Jen. Each one of those baskets were actually supposed to be washed separately. And in my head, I'm just a very practical, time-saving guy. And so when you put towels in and there's just only a few, other clothing, why not put those in? She'll never know. She does know. And so she's had that conversation. And yet it's not working. And so here's our mindset. Here's actually the problem, not just with me, but with you as well, is that we have this mindset, particularly when it comes to parenting, that if we're loud enough, if we're gruff enough, if we are passionate enough or hyped up enough, if our threats are big enough, right, we will win and our kid will be changed. But you can just take it into every other scenario too. We get to the mindset if we think if we are loud enough and passionate enough and angry enough that our spouse will change. Or if we're angry enough, persistent enough, our parents will change. Our coworker, our boss would change. We think in series of events. And here's what's true. I mean, probably will be true for maybe some of you in this room. Like after service, you'll go and you will head out those doors and you'll go for a beeline to pick up your child. And maybe it won't be here at church. Maybe it'll be at school this week. And as you're approaching to pick them up, you see their teacher. And their teacher is looking right at you. And your heart kind of sinks. And you know, huh? Something's coming. And you walk up and that teacher might say, we had an incident with Johnny again today. He bit Susie. He bit Susie because, you know, she wasn't sharing a toy. And in your head, you're thinking, where does he get this, right? Like, not once have you ever bit your child. But in your mind, you're thinking, I'm going to chew him up once I get into the car. And so we think, like, we're like, what is going, our mindset is like, what is going through their heads? And maybe you've had that conversation, but that's what our thoughts are. What is going through your mind right now? What are you thinking? And so this week, it was just so funny. I mean, Jen and I are walking around the neighborhood and she describes the event in the car and how they lost their marbles. And I'm like, it's okay, sweetie. They'll change. And that, like, the very next day, I go out with them. And it's the same thing. And when I could have easily pulled off the road when they did it, and I could have easily said, like, what on earth are you doing? Like, what's going through your mind? And when we ask, like, we can ask these questions, not just to our kids, but to our spouse and to whoever it might be, we could ask the question. But you know what? If I would ask Ben, Abby, what are you thinking right now? I'm not going to get the answer I want. Here's what I'm not going to hear. Ben nor Abby would say, you know what? Dad, you're right. I have a serious problem. I am utterly corrupt inside. And in deep inside me, I am jealous and I am angry and I am frustrated and, quite frankly, at times a little annoying. But you know, Dad, my greatest danger is not out there. Not out there. It's right here. I have a heart problem. I have a sin problem. I'm not going to hear that. Is it the truth? Yes. Yes, it's the truth, but we aren't going to hear that. And truth be told, many of these scenarios that you are experiencing, just different times, different locations, right? And I can guarantee many people in this room, and they're not just moms, who feel incredibly discouraged. Incredibly discouraged, and they're ready, and maybe you're ready to just like throw in the towel, right? It might not just be with little infants. It might be with teenagers. It might be with your parents. It might be with a boss or coworker, but you're experiencing it. And you and I are, we are constantly looking for that one conversation or that one event where everything is going to change. Maybe where they'll take responsibility. One event and the problem is solved. Problem solved. And so today we want to look at that. We want to look at what is God doing in the midst of that. Because we have to remember, during times like this, we have to remember gospel truths. And not just gospel truths and principles, but like the reality of even what's behind that. It's really big. Like, understanding this is absolutely crucial. If we're going to thrive, if we're going to experience the grace that God wants for us. And so, even this last series, we were in a series in Ephesians, we were in a series in Unity, and there we saw like the perfect work of God, right? We saw the work of the Father, Son, and Spirit. And there we saw that really it is the Son who forgives and brings life because of his work on the cross. And we see the work of the Spirit where he is sealing us and securing us. And what we saw really was past grace. There was an event when Jesus in space, in time, he did something back then. He brought forgiveness and life. And we so easily remember, like this is all last week, we can look to the future grace as well, when the Spirit is going to actually transform us to be more like the Father, actually just like him. But it's this space between that's really, really hard, right? And here we're seeing like we have been, from the past grace, we are fully accepted when we trust Jesus, fully accepted. And we are fully made right in God's eyes. But at the same time, even though we are no longer condemned, we are right in God's eyes, if we're honest, we know we are not actually right. Even though we are complete, we are actually not complete. And that sounds like I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth. But yet, understanding what the Scriptures is actually telling us about ourselves is really crucial. Another way of like phrasing it or looking at it is that the power of sin has been dealt with from past grace. Like, we are no longer condemned. We are set free. We are forgiven. But at the same time, there is a presence of sin that's still at work, that is still wreaking havoc in our lives. And so, yes, there is a past grace. Thank God for past grace. But there is a process right now that we are in that can be incredibly challenging. Incredibly challenging. And so there's a statement that Paul Tripp says in the book that I find helpful that I give to you. He says, "The Father's work of justification is an event, but his work of transformation is a process." The Father's work where he has made us right in his sight, that was an event. But his sanctifying work, his work of transforming us, is a day-to-day process. That God right now, he is perpetually doing something in our lives. He is purposely doing things, and he's extending grace. He's extending mercy. He's extending patience and love to you and to me. And so we see actually this being exemplified and described all throughout the New Testament. In fact, I love how the Apostle Paul says it. He says it this way in 1 Corinthians 15. I love this verse. He says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not without effect." Meaning that's past grace. That's an event. That God, he had a powerful encounter with God and he was saved. But he also recognizes that it wasn't just an event, that there was a process is going on as well. He says, "No, not I. I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me." Right? Paul is recognizing that he has been, yes, he is being transformed. He is being transformed over and over, that he knows that it's not just an event, but a process that God has him on. Salvation is an event. Transformation is a process. Justification is an event. Sanctification is a process. Spiritual life, forgiveness is an event. Our day-to-day life with God is a process. So we need to remember this because that's not a profound truth, but it is often a forgotten truth. And it's forgotten because our culture doesn't like process. We like quickness. Right? That's why we like microwaves, not ovens. We like Instapots, not crockpots, which is like a swear word in the Midwest. Everybody here likes crockpots. You might be thinking, "I like crockpots." To which I say, "No, you don't. Unless you have a plan. You need a plan." Like, because nobody after today, if you don't have a crockpot right now, once 12 o'clock hits and you're hungry, you don't go back home and say, "You know what I want to do? I just want to throw something in the crock pot." Nobody says that because it takes time. And we don't like that. That's why we like Amazon, specifically Amazon Prime. We don't want to wait 5 days for anything, right? We like streaming movies, not Blockbuster. Students, Blockbuster is a store that we would go to rent a movie. We like speed. We don't want to wait. We don't want to wait. See, we want transformation, and we don't want it yesterday. I mean, we want it now. We want transformation now. We don't want to wait overnight. And this type of mindset actually bleeds right into all of our relationships. Every single one of them. And it can cause us actually to misunderstand gospel, the principles of the gospel. And not just misunderstand it, but actually have unrealistic expectations on God, on you, and on your loved ones. And so we can so easily lose sight of like this grand perspective, this big picture of what God is doing. And so understanding it is crucial for us. It's foundational that we have to keep in front of us this idea that God is in the business. He is the business of change is going to come oftentimes, more often than not, through a process. And transformation necessitates time. Time. Now, here's what's, we don't like time, and you know, we also look at just the problems that arise. And I would just encourage you, the problem that you're experiencing in whatever relationship that is coming to your mind right now, the problem that you're thinking about, the problem is not wrong behavior. That's not the problem. The problem isn't biting. The problem isn't not sharing, right? The problem isn't blowing off curfews. The problem isn't sassy attitudes or being argumentative. The problem isn't talking back. The problem isn't fighting. The problem isn't overspending. The problem isn't actually wrong behavior. Those are just symptoms of the problem. The ultimate problem is sin. That's the problem for you and for me. And it's actually even deeper than that. It's not just it's a sin problem, but it's the problem. Sin has this uncanny ability to blind us. Sin blinds us. And guess who it blinds first? You and me. Right? We have this uncanny ability to see and to expose the faults and the sins of our kids, of our spouses, of our parents, of our neighbor, or whoever it might be, and we're blinded by our own. Like, we have this gift, this spiritual gift of exposing errors. It just happens to be other people's errors and not your own. We're really good at that because we're blinded by our own sin. And so is it any wonder when we actually bring it up that it's always usually met with resistance? Resistance. And so most people just don't see themselves accurately. Most people, it's not just that people are selfish and rebellious and greedy. The problem is that oftentimes we're blind. We're blind to our sin. We have blind spots, right? And so our children can think they're okay when they're really not okay. And our students can think they're okay when they're really not okay. And our spouses can think they're okay when they're really not okay, because we're so easily blinded and blinded by sin that it's so hard for us to recognize that we are being deceived, oftentimes being deceived by the power of sin. And so it's no wonder that we don't see change quickly, because we don't see ourselves as we ought to see. And so maybe you're frustrated. Maybe you're getting frustrated with a loved one. But you need to remember, during this midst of this frustration, whatever they're doing that is upsetting you, if you're upset with your child, you need to remember that you're actually more like your child than unlike your child. And if you're upset with your parents, you're actually more like your parents than unlike your parents. And if you're upset with your spouse, guess what? You're actually more like your spouse than unlike your spouse. And so we need help, which is why I am so encouraged by God's word, like a verse in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, you can make your way over there. It'll be behind me on the screen as well. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, the author of Hebrews says, he goes, you need to exhort one another. Encourage one another every day as long as it's called today, so that none of you would be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And so here's why our role as a parent is crucial. Or here's why our role as a spouse is crucial. Or here's why, if you're a life group leader or an ABF teacher, why it's crucial. Because there is a tendency when hardships come that we want to kind of throw in the towel. We want to give up. And so we need to step back and remember, like, this grand perspective of what God is doing. That when hardships come, he's saying we need to exhort one another, encourage one another. Meaning we need to come alongside and underneath. But this is actually not what we typically want to do. When we're met with resistance, what do we want to do? We want to come over the top. You do and I do. The last thing we want to do is come alongside and underneath. And yet here the author is saying, exhort, you need to exhort one another as long as it's called today. we'd use language differently. Right now, we use language here. We want you to be known. We want you to be encouraged. We want you to be challenged. But how long am I supposed to do this, Jay? How long am I supposed to do this? Because you're thinking, I've been yelling, threatening, screaming, hollering for days and months and seasons and years. And he tells us how long. How long? But exhort one another every day, daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you would be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We have to exhort every single day, every day, day in, day out, moment by moment. There is no vacation time when it comes to exhortation and encouraging, right? There's no Sabbath rest. It is a long, prepare yourself, it is a long and arduous process. In other words, it's not an event or a series of events. It is a lifelong process that God has us on. And so let me give you some helpful tools just to continue to remember as we're on this journey. The first is this, is that you need to constantly remember, this is not profound, the grand perspective. You need to remember the big picture, right? In other words, you need to change the way that you're thinking. And so do I. The Bible calls it this way. He says you need to repent. That's what repentance means. It means a change in paradigm. Shift the way that you're thinking. It's not appropriate. And that's what we need to do. We need to constantly remember that God is, he's in a process and not an event. We need to remember the big picture. That when it comes to our kids, when it comes to our spouses, when it comes to our relationships are not projects. It's a process. Our relationships are not an event. It is a day-to-day journey. So write that down. Tattoo it. Tweet it. But remember it. That our relationships, they are not projects. It is a process. A day-to-day process. Because change is seldom the result of a dramatic moment. That, by God's grace, that can happen. Change can happen in a moment. Some of you have experienced that, where transformation has come by God's grace at a specific time in a specific place. God in his grace can do that, but that's not usually the norm. Change is seldom done in a moment or in an event. Change is more often done in a process. Why? Because he longs to extend present grace. He longs for you to experience his present grace day in and day out. And guess what? When you experience it and the grace in your life, then you can begin to extend it to those around you. I'm so thankful for past grace, and hallelujah, I can't wait for future grace. But in the meantime, there is a present grace that is available. Even when you're annoyed, even when you're frustrated, even when you think things are never going to change, he can bring, I promise you, he can bring a present grace, right? We are designed to parent this way, shepherd this way, encourage this way, bit by bit, moment by moment, day by day. The day-by-day process. Another way of saying it, there are no one-and-done conversations. There's no one-and-done. What there is just many, many moments of conversation, right? Conversations before bed, conversations in the car, conversations at the table, conversations at the pool, conversations in the hot tub, conversations in the mall, conversations in the yard, conversations in school. There is many, many moments of conversations. And truth be told, right, even that can be incredibly hard. At least conversations before bed, right? How often do you think, well, you know what? Dad time is just over now. Off you go. No more chit-chat time now. Mama is done. And yet, these are the conversations that we need to continue to step into. So we need a grand perspective, but we also need a proper tool, right? That God uses tools to transform us. He uses chisels to change us. He's bringing transformation. He has means that he uses to bring about life change. He has ways to do that. And guess what? I hope this is not a shocker. You know what his primary tool is? At least outside of God's word? You and me. If you are a Christian in this room, guess what you are? You are a tool. You are an instrument that's meant to be used. Because why? Because you're not an owner. You don't get to choose what you're going to do or not do. You are an ambassador. You're the one who faithfully is representing the message and the mission. And so you are a tool to bring about transformation. First in yourself, and then by God's grace, in other people. Which means, guess what? None of us in this room are meant to be spectators. We don't get to sit around and just watch. We're not fans. We're in the game. And we get to experience his grace, his present grace. And guess what? He'll change you. I promise he will. And then by his grace, he will use you to extend it to those around you. We're tools. But we need a tool and be a tool that actually possesses power. That's important, right? We need power with this tool. And guess what? Here's the case. You and I cannot produce transformation. You can't produce transformation. You can't even transform your own heart, let alone the heart of someone that you know and love. You can't change your own heart. So hear me, moms, Mother's Day. You cannot change your kid. And you cannot change your husband. And I'm not just picking on moms. Fill in the blank. You can't. And Lord knows, as we as parents, we've tried. Or as spouses, we've tried. Or as friends, we've tried. Right? We've tried by yelling. We've tried by screaming. We've tried by threatening. We've tried by forcing. We've tried by punishing. We've tried by shaming. We've tried by guilting. More? Okay. We've tried by coercing. We've tried by bribing. We've tried by rewarding. And none of those actually can produce transformation. Here's what's scary. Here's what's really scary. What you can produce actually is an external behavior. If you're loud enough and gruff enough, mean enough, you actually can produce an outward behavior, but you cannot transform a heart. Only God can do that. Only God. And so we need his transforming power. Internal change can only come by the presence of the Spirit of God in our lives. He holds the power to transform. But here's what's beautiful, is that he will use us as tools. He will use us. And in the midst of those many moments of conversations, when we preach the gospel to ourselves first, in his grace he begins to change us, and then we can begin to extend it to other people. And so I don't know how bad your week was. For some of you, it was a pretty bad week. And so let me try to give you again a picture. What is God maybe up to? What is he up to? That when the craziness of your life arises, don't see this disruptions and this turmoil as interruptions, as hassles. Maybe, just maybe, these are gospel opportunities for you to see that he can step in and and give you incredible grace. Transforming grace. He's longing to extend mercy when you feel like you are just absolutely going to snap. He's longing to give patience. He's longing to give love. He's longing to give what you are lacking, because our God is good. He really is. And so I'd encourage you, think about, are you having gospel conversations first with yourself, but then with the people around you? The truth of who God is and what he is doing in your life. And for some of you, you're thinking, well, I haven't done this before. I don't even really know how it looks. To which I say, that's okay. This is why we have groups. This is why life groups are so important. Because you can go to a group and say, okay, how's the gospel actually impacting you right now? And how is it actually affecting the people around you right now? And begin to ask questions. And hear stories of what God is doing. And will it be awkward when you begin to do this with your spouse or with your kids or with your parents? Probably. I'll just be honest, probably at first. But at the same time, you'll begin to see, what is God doing? He's beginning to do something in you. His grace is powerful, folks. It can transform. And it can help. And so we want to be a people who not just look at past grace, thank you, and future grace, what one will be, the already, the not yet, but in between there is a space where God is at work, and it's seldom an event, but a process that he is wanting to show himself more and more day in and day out until we will not struggle anymore. And so let's pray and ask that he would do just that. So, Father in heaven, we are a blessed people. And if I'm honest, I want transformation yesterday. And I know there are people here that are in some really messy and sticky situations that would prefer to have things different. And so, God, would you give us grace to endure where that is needed? Would you give us grace to be hopeful where there really is no hope? Would you give us grace to know that you are present when you feel so distant? We need you. Oh God, we need you right now. And if there is anyone here, Father, a student or a man or a woman who has not trusted Jesus, oh, my prayer is that they would see their need for a God who can bring forgiveness and a newness of life that they can never achieve. Would they trust him and embrace him? So direct their hearts to you. But use us this week to be a tool in your hands, whether that's with a coworker or a neighbor or a parent or a child or a spouse. Would we be agents of grace? And we pray all this in your powerful name. And God's people said, amen. Amen.